When you build a home, you won't believe the changes in you see in these people. They actually want to change. They just don't know how to. They don't know where to start. They can't start because they just don't have the resources to start. Suddenly they have this hope, new, they want their kids to study well. The way they keep the house, we don't just build the house and leave it. Our team every month goes and checks how they are maintaining this house. But it is amazing to see how they keep sweeping the floor and how they want to keep it, because it's for them, it's like a lottery, it's a blessing. You will always find that one person or the two people in that huge number that you helped that would not have accepted the help well. But there are 7 or 8 others that have. So we want to build a community. And we want these kids to then look after what was built for them as a base in the future.
Hello, beautiful community. I'm so happy that you're listening today again to this beautiful podcast. And as you can see, if you watch this podcast on YouTube, we have such a beautiful guest today. And I can tell you, this guest is not just beautiful outside, but definitely also very much on the inside. And I'm very honored to have this guest here today in this podcast, Maitreyi Karant. And I'm so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for taking the time to share your, all about your life and your creation of the Coma Karant Foundation with us, because the Coma Karant Foundation is a foundation that we support with Sanos Planet as well. And today I hope everyone from the community can understand why. Shortly to Maitreyi, a little bit of information. So Maitreyi, you do so many things, like so many beautiful things. Like, I can't wait to learn everything about you. You're an actor, you're a stand-up comedian, you're a TED Talk speaker. You're a motivational speaker, a winner of the Global Woman of Influence Award. Wow, like big things. And you're also the founder and the CEO of the Coma Karant Foundation. How do you manage this all? This is crazy. Beautiful. Well, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Actually, everything I do is such a, loving, passionate project. So I think it kind of intertwines everything beautifully. I used to be a mathematics tutor before. So I'm actually a qualified senior school maths teacher. So I had a maths tutoring business. And that is also something I did because I loved doing. So I think because I've been doing all the things that I love doing, maybe that's why it's just been such a beautiful kind of journey, of finding myself as well as everything else.
Sounds so amazing. And I think this is, we have so many things in common. I think that we can talk for weeks, because there are many things that you do that I love. And what I also share always, or try to share with my speeches, is do what you love. And what you love, you protect. And I think it's time that we fall in love again with this world. Probably many people forgot that we are loving this world. We have such a beautiful home. We are beautiful souls, living souls in this world. Let's love each other. Let's spread more love. And then we can also work on protecting each other much better. So what you love, that's what you do. That's why you are so successful. That's for sure. And happy.
Yes,
that's true. And success is happiness in the end, right? Or it's connected. That's really beautiful. So when you said that you had a mathematical, how is it called? Mathematical business. How do you call it?
Mathematics tutoring business.
Tutoring business. How did that happen, that from the mathematics tutoring business, you became the person that you are today, and you do completely different things? What was the moment that changed you? And I have seen there was quite some things. There have been things that you have been experiencing. I saw on your webpage there was a story that touched you so deeply, and probably that was the start of creating the foundation and doing more for the world and for the people. Do you want to share that story with us?
Yeah, I mean, to begin with, why I changed my whole career to begin with at the age of 40 was also because I grew up in pretty harsh conditions myself. My dad passed away very early when I was 9. My mom was blind. We had absolutely no money. And during that time in India, I was extremely passionate about going up on stage, which was seen as a bad girl move. So especially if you didn't have a dad, So I was never, I had to really fight to go up on stage. So I had that passion, but I had no direction. And we had to take my mom, she got a small role in a bank because in the, differently abled department. So my brother and me at that age had to walk her there, sit her there, go to the office, come back, pick her up, walk home. Even the house, no one was willing to rent to us because my mom was blind and a widow. Finally someone gave us a very tiny room, etc. So I grew up like that. And so when I got married, I had already done my MBA and my post graduation in education and went to the Middle East. And I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to start be a professional instead of anything else. So my dreams were kind of put in the back burner. And I became a maths tutor because I loved teaching to one or two kids. And I thought I would be really good at it rather than the 9 to 5 job. And that's how I started tutoring. And then when I turned 40, I decided, my dad passed away at 40. He was an amazing public speaker. He was following his dreams when he was just at the prime he passed away. So I felt very guilty that I had all his talents and I hadn't done anything with it, which is why I switched. I closed my tutoring business, which was doing so well. And everyone thought I was mad. And I
Can
said,
imagine.
I want to follow my passion. I want to give this one last go. And so I started, acting, and then I got into stand-up comedy, and life started taking into completely different directions. Very exciting, very scary, but also at the same time very fulfilling because that's what I wanted to do when I was younger. And then during COVID, I've always had a very good connection with Filipinas because we have always had Filipina helpers, and they have been amazing to us as they are to many other families in Hong Kong. So, every time they had typhoons, they always have typhoons, I used to send help. But this time when COVID struck, I thought I had an ex-helper who could help me there. So I formed a team together with her on the ground, and we started feeding. Actually, daily wage workers didn't have jobs, and so they were struggling for even food for their family. So we started feeding them, and I was very hands-on. I was on the video call for the entire feeding time, and that's when I met this one lady. Her name was Madeline. So Madeline is late 30s. She had a stroke. She had a 9-year-old kid. Her husband was a daily wage worker with no job. And the house was, it wasn't a house. It was just some stands. There was no ground at all, and there was no ceiling. It was a broken piece of wood on top. And I asked Madeline, I said, what can we do for you? And she said, oh, I just need food for the family. She slurred, of course. She said she needs food for the family. And my team then said, ma'am, the place is stinking because Madeline, couldn't drag herself to the nearest toilet. So she had to do her business there. So I first told them, clean the place up. After that, go and get the whole groceries for the entire month. And then, for some reason, I couldn't sleep that night. And I thought, she's someone younger than me, and she's living that life. And so something told me, build Madeline a home, give her a life of dignity that she deserves. The next morning, I called a team meeting and I said, let's build a home. They said, what? We are just feeding. We have no expertise in this. We don't know what we're doing with that. I said, but Madeline's husband is actually a construction worker. So why don't you get him to put together a team? I'm sure lots of construction workers don't have jobs right now. So that's how within 4 days we had a team ready. And we brought down Madeline's home. We gave her a little shack in the side and we said you could sleep there. But Madeline said no, she wants to see her dream house being built. So I still have a picture of her sitting on this, perched on this little bench that we gave her. And, from the back, I took the picture of her sitting and watching her dream house being built from 9 in the morning to 5 in the evening. She was a 9 to 5 woman, obviously. And then after about 5 days of this, I noticed that she had a lot of knots in her hair. So I told my team, why don't you give her, ask her permission and give her a haircut. So I was in the call and I said, hey, Marilyn, we would like you to give a haircut. We would like to give you a haircut. Are you okay with that? She laughed and she cried and she said, oh, madam, you're treating me like a princess. She got her haircut, cut it short. She said she wants to take a nap and she never woke up. She passed away in her sleep. And of course, we cried bucket loads. I still can't tell the story without choking up. And because I feel like she could have waited, just another 2 months to see her dream house. But yeah, so we gave her a beautiful funeral and we continued building her house. And we called it Madeline. And that's when I decided to call it Coma One. Now, Coma is actually my father's name. It's a short form, his full name was Koni Mahabaleshwara Karat, which is like really long. Imagine if I'd
I would
give
not
you the name.
remember Kona Karam. No, I wouldn't be able to say it right now, right? Kona,
Yeah.
that's where it comes from. I wanted to ask you already. A nice
Yeah.
beautiful.
Because Koma is how he used to sign it because it was so long. He used to sign Koma Karan. So I decided to make the house Koma. And then I saw somewhere that there's another organization called Koma. So that's why we put the whole thing. We said Koma Karant Foundation. And that was Koma One. And yeah, that's how we started.
This is such a big story, and it's so touching and sad at the same time, but beautiful. And like you said, you wished for Madeline, right? You wished for her to
Madeline.
see the whole home that you built for her, and she couldn't anymore. But in the end, I'm pretty sure that she passed away in a quite good state in within
Yeah.
herself, knowing that people are caring, knowing that people, strangers,
Yeah.
will see her. And I think
Yeah.
that is what many people are never feeling and experiencing their whole life.
Yes,
And that's so
absolutely.
sad because
Yes.
strangers do care. Not every stranger might care, but strangers do care. And that's so beautiful. You gave her such a beautiful gift, and she gave
Yeah.
you a beautiful gift at the same time.
Yes. I mean, I cannot, sometimes I wonder, should I say that? Because I cannot say the story of Koma without starting with Madeline. Because we're just reading. This is how the whole building of homes started.
And you are doing so many things with Koma Karant. I mean, you're like, I found on your website as well, your mission is to build homes for the poor, provide education, old age community centers, medical support, and support single women in their strive for self-sufficiency. That's one part that I find myself find a lot of times, and I see, like, if we really want to create change, we need to help people to be self-sufficient. Otherwise, we are not helping, really.
No,
Otherwise, we are
yes.
just making people abundant, not
Yeah.
abundant, the opposite, dependent.
Dependent.
And that is a
Yes.
thing that is not helping anyone. So
Yes.
that's a beautiful mission, and that's a beautiful way that you're helping others. How did it then move forward? Because this was like your heart telling you, I want to help this one woman to build the home. But then you
Yeah.
became in you started to build many homes. How many homes did you build so far? I think more than 30.
Yeah, we are now in the 39th home.
39.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
Because,
amazing.
when I built the first one, I thought, I have a building team now. Why stop? Why not use this? And also, I realized that all our laborers, the other laborers, were all in the same, their families were in the exact same state as Marilyn's family was. So how horrible must it be for them to build houses for other people and then go back to their own bad huts, with nothing there? So we started building for them first. So we built for each of our laborers. We paid them for building their own homes, but we built
Wow.
homes for all of
Yeah.
them. And
That's
then
good.
we moved on to the general public. And to be honest, I started with my own, like I went and did my performances, and all the money that came from the performance would go into the homes. And then I started putting it on social media, put it on Facebook. I did not expect the response I got. I had some very wealthy individuals that messaged and said, "Hey, I will sponsor a home. I'll sponsor this. I'll sponsor that." And so it was then easier for me. If it was just left to me, it would have been much harder to move forward. But it was then easier for me to move forward and build these other homes. And so yeah, we kept building. But then you see, I realized that at that time, the kids were running around with no face-to-face classes. They had no gadgets to help at home, and they had no educated parents to teach them. So their literally whole year or years, as we saw, would have gone wasted. So that's why we started the Coma School. So basically, during COVID, we have two teachers. During COVID, the Coma School became like a main school, like from morning to evening, with the help of other school teachers. We got all their curriculums, we put everything together, we got the students, and we taught them, the poor students. And this became like a full-time school. But once COVID finished and their face-to-face classes started, then we became a tutoring school. We still bring them from school to our school. They get some snacks there and a juice, and then they do all their homework. They take extra help to pass their exams, et cetera, et cetera. And then we drop them. And everything started connecting. Like when the face-to-face school started, the teachers realized we had already done a lot and we would like to do more. So they told us that the tribal kids come to school without lunch boxes. So they just sit there and watch other children having lunch. And then I realized that our house number 25 was just a minute away from that school. And the lady of the house still needed a job because they are still poor. We still need to help them get jobs and things anyway. So I said to her, "We will pay you a salary and give you groceries. Why don't you cook for these children?" So then the children run there during their lunchtime, eat their food. They have rice, and which they never have. The tribal kids just cannot afford it. They eat rice. They eat a whole wholesome meal, and then they run back to school. So that we started during that time as well. So it's run gone on for a few years. And to just give you some perspective, every Christmas when they have holidays, the kids used to cry, not because they miss school, because they're going to miss their lunches. And also the school has told us that they have had more tribal kids now coming to school. Usually they would drop out because one, the place was too far for them. They would have to walk 2 hours, walk back, and they're doing all this without food. So a lot of the kids would drop out and go out to help their, parents work in the farms and things like that. But this time they have not only stayed, more kids have come into school because they get this. And we also started Coma Transport. So we actually go to the bottom of the mountain, pick them up, and then drop them in the evening after their tutoring school. So we do all of those services because it's not just homes we want to build, we want to build a community. And we want these kids to then look after what was built for them as a base in the future.
This is so amazing because I see as well, I see the tutoring that you have been doing before is also helping you now as well in building this. And that's so beautiful because sometimes people say, oh, when I change my job or something with a certain age, maybe what I have done so far, then it's wasted. No. It's
No,
not
no.
wasted at all. You
Yeah.
can bring it into the next. There's always learnings, there's always teachings. Take them with you and create something new with it. And
Yes.
that's what I love so much. And at the same time, how you build it, like you look at it from 360 degrees. It's not just, okay, we give you a home and that's it. And then you
Yeah.
step back and you are on your own. And people can maybe not learn how their kids can earn some money with a good job so that they can keep their homes running. So
Yeah.
it's all 360 degrees are it's all intertwined in what you do. So from every angle, you put the things together, you see what is missing, and then you go for it. And this is exactly what I love. Because what I see in many organizations many times, and I can imagine people that are listening right now, they know that too, or they heard about it. There are moments where I think, okay, does it make sense like this? Building a school and then leaving it alone, or building a fountain and then not caring for it, or not helping people to understand how to care for it themselves. that is not really the support that the communities or the people need. It needs a long-term real support where they get the support as well to understand how to maintain the things that are here now and to keep running them at some point on their own. And that is what you're doing. There's everything included. So I love your project, and I hope that everybody who's listening understands this is exactly what we need to support much more in the future. Can you share us a little bit? Maybe do you have a bit of a overview? How much does a home cost to be built in the Philippines? So just for the understanding.
So we've been building homes, including, beautiful brick homes with tiles, fully furnished for 50,000 Hong Kong dollars. Now, what is that? That is £5,000.
For a whole home.
Yes.
Wow.
That's it.
£5,000. That's it. Wow.
Yes, two bedrooms. We have, like I said, it's tiles on the floor. We have a beautiful veranda outside, a patio. Ceiling, and it's a proper home. We give TV, we give all the basic thing, because these people are very, very poor. If I just give them a home, they have no money to then furnish it, So
Yeah.
we are then giving them the bed, the basic things, the bed, the fan, light. This, mind you, also includes other things like the electricity. We put the electricity, they pay it monthly, of course, but the basic in the beginning, you have to get it done, water, everything. It includes everything. And
Wow.
that's how much, yeah.
Sorry, but not sorry. How amazing would it be, lovely community, if we can build 10 homes? I mean, I just put out a number right now, but how beautiful could it be to feel like we have built 10 homes together? We supported to be built the building of 10 homes for a community that really needs it. How beautiful is that? So let us do the best we can in the Sanos Planet community to support that, because that's really amazing. £5,000 for one home. It's awesome. And we have a whole family. Let's go for that vision. I don't know how fast and how soon, but let's focus on it and help much more, because this is purely amazing. And you change not only the life of one person, but this person, the whole family, and then it's spreading.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you won't believe, when you build a home, you won't believe the changes in you see in these people. They actually want to change. They just don't know how to, they just don't, they don't know where to start. They can't start because they just don't have it in them, the resources to start. Suddenly they have this hope. Knew they want their kids to study well, and they'll struggle more. And the way they keep the house, we don't just build the house and leave it. Our team every month goes and checks how they are maintaining this house. But it is amazing to see how they keep sweeping the floor and how they want to keep it, because it's for them, it's like a lottery, it's a blessing. So out of all these, someone asked me, what is the success rate? Because there will be someone that will probably not care for it. That's bound to be there. And that's in everything that you do, right? There will be, you send five kids to college, there will be that one kid that will not do well, or will be out of college in no time, etc. And I am telling you, out of 38 homes, only one home there was that has happened where they did not take care of the house. But all 37 homes are flourishing. Their kids are going to school. And from the tribal, the tribal, there are many tribal sections, but there was one tribal section that really caught my eye, because when I visit every time, I love the pastor. He's all, a big smile all the time, and he's really caring for his community. He asks what they want. And they said simple things like they live on top of a mountain. They had to go down to the river every day to get water. And they've been going to the government for years, and they haven't got, the piping done. So I said, okay, we'll do the piping. So we installed water pumps in the river, piped it all the way up into this humongous tanks. We call them Coma. And they have water now. We got them solar electricity. I wanted to build a typhoon shelter for them. They said, oh, they wanted a church. I said, I don't want to get into that whole religion politics. There's a line. So I said, but I will build a typhoon shelter. You can use it for whatever it is you want. So we built, that's the only properly, brick and ceiling building they have on top of the mountain. And no vehicles can go up this mountain. There's no road, nothing. So imagine every man, woman, and child carried each bag of cement and every little thing that was needed for that humongous building up on the mountain. And we built that, our laborers built that mountain. Our laborers built that building on top of that mountain. And now they use it as their community center. They use it to hide from the typhoon. They use it to pray. They use it to whatever they want, And there, we saw when we started doing these things like electricity, water, and this typhoon shelter, we saw a huge difference. I go there every time I go up that mountain and I speak to everyone. They all come and we congregate in that building and we have speeches and we laugh, we cry together, etc. And I've seen a huge difference in their hygiene, in just the way they are living. And three girls from that community for the first time ever are going to college now. Yes, and
Wow,
we are
beautiful.
sponsoring those three girls.
This is such a big success. It's amazing. Wow, well done.
It's
And also that.
huge changes that happen overall when you build that house for them. It's not just a brick home, it's not just a building.
Yeah. And especially that they are included in the building the building, that they are part of it. That I think is always giving people much more. The more of the feeling of I am part of this project, I can help my own community. We are doing this together. It's a different feeling than someone comes, builds it, and leaves. It's completely different. And that makes, I think, makes the big difference in how it is maintained afterwards, how it's used, and how the people love it and feel it and are there for it. I think that is such a beautiful difference that is needed.
So
And
feeling community, I guess, right?
Yes, and of being part of it, being part of the community, not just there is a community, yes, but we are the community. We are the ones. I think that's so beautiful. And I also feel, I sometimes when I give my speeches, I also share a bit my story, and I have been through some things as well. And I have always learned from everything that was really hard. I have learned the most, I grew the most, and I call it like, we can turn the shit into a fertilizer, and because the shit happens, so it's not a nice word, but it's what it is. And we can choose what we do with it. And I feel so much that you have done exactly this, because you have also a past that was not easy, a completely different story from mine, and much. I don't want to see what, it's never good to compare, but I have not been through what you have been through. I have other story. Everyone has a story. Everyone who's listening today, we all carry things that are heavy sometimes. But if we use that, grow from it, and turn it around and make a fertilizer out of it, that is, I think, that's what you do. That's what spreads hope. What about hope? How is it about your hope for the future? Do you feel, yes, I am so hopeful, but not just by sitting on a couch and hoping for something to be better in the world, but I am acting, I'm part of the hope, and I see people moving towards a positive change or towards a positive world. How does it feel for you, this topic?
I mean, it's see, there's nothing, this whole thing is based on hope and love and all the positive words. And I'm always asked, are there also harsh things that happen? Like you sound like as if everything is wonderful. It is wonderful, but there are times, when you also cry about something that has happened or not happened. Like, for example, we had this couple, both of them were paralyzed. And when I went to see them, the man said that because the woman also is paralyzed, but she could walk, but still struggle, but she couldn't help him. And they were elderly. So I said, I watched outside their house. There was another tiny hut. There were about five children, little, very little children, and the mother, and they were extremely poor. So I called the mother and I said, she said she was looking for a job to feed her children. I said, why don't we get him a wheelchair? And then she can come every morning, put him on the wheelchair, wheel him out so that he gets the fresh air, he gets to see, the nature, etc. And then she puts him back, helps them with washing their clothes and dishes. And I said we could pay by just feeding the entire family for the entire month. She was very happy. She was doing this for a few 6 or 7 months even. And one day, just all of a sudden, she got hit by a car in front of our tutoring school and died.
Oh.
And she left behind five children, one of them still breastfeeding. And the father was not helpful at all. So I asked my team manager, I said, go to them and tell the father, because they have nothing, the kids have nothing. We will take the kids to the center every morning. We will bathe them, we will feed them, we will teach them, and then we will send them back home in the evening. And he said no. And the reason he said is because his Christianity sect is different from my team's sect. Both are Christians, but the sect is different. And so my team manager was getting, very mad because she was looking at the children. I said, no, we cannot get mad. What we should do, every month we go back to him. Very patiently, we tell him the same thing. Can we please bring the children, bathe them, feed them, teach them, and send back? Just keep doing that. Don't lose your temper. This has been now 9 months, which means we have gone to them 9 times. This time, he said, okay.
Wow.
After 9 months of us going there and patiently asking him, he said, okay. If we had left at that day, then basically we are giving up on those children. It's not the father, we are punishing the children. Now we know that the children can be basic things, bathed, fed, and taught and sent back home.
This is crazy beautiful. And do you think? Because that we could make a whole podcast just about that topic, but
Absolutely.
do you think why? I can imagine, but that's maybe just in my head. Why are people saying no? Like people in his condition or in his position, why does he say no? Because of the fact that he thinks, okay, this is another way of doing religion, and maybe they do something that my children are not anymore doing what I believe in. Or do you think it's a bit of a pride thing? It's
Yes,
both
I think
connected,
it's
probably.
pride. Yes. I think it's pride one, because he suddenly is made to think that we think without his wife, the family can't run, the children won't be taken care of. So it is ego one, but also two, he thinks we might feed them because apparently in their sect, there are certain things they don't eat. And so even now he has given us permission to take them only on the condition that he'll come and watch what we feed them. We said, no problem. You come and watch us cook. You come and, you watch us feed. You do whatever. We don't mind. We just want to do this for the children. So as long as you're patient, I mean, there are some stories like this where you need patience. There are other stories like another paralyzed man. He wasn't. He just was so weak he couldn't get up. We got him a wheelchair and started doing the same thing, taking him out. And within 4 months, he was walking. He looked amazing. If you see the before and after picture, you just won't believe. And there was nothing, he wasn't a paralyzed man. So all he needed was hope. He needed hope and he got it and he was fine completely. So,
That's what I think. Sorry. When many people are like so much depressed for the situation they are in, for the circumstances that is there, that doesn't have to stay like that, but it's easier to stay in that belief that it's anyway not changing, or it's easier than to stand up and say, no, I changed this. So that needs a whole system of support, a whole community. That's why you are building the community. When community come together, they help each other. But when you feel alone and you feel like I can't change this and there is nothing I can do about this, then you get more depressed, more sick, more weak. All of these things come together. It's a lot of the feeling that is created or that you create in yourself that can change the whole story completely. That's so beautiful. It's beautiful and at the same time quite crazy if we think about it, because then we also understand how much we put ourselves down for nothing
Yes,
so many times.
absolutely. I keep saying, especially single women, helping them is very dear to me, because if my mom, for example, hadn't got the help she got from the bank that gave her the job at the time that she needed it, I would not have been here today. I would be, I don't know in what situation. So I'm here because of that helping hand, so that's why I want to give that helping hand to other women. And we see when these single women get that little bit of push, we don't we build them, like, for example, a convenience store, or we ask them, do you know how to make ice candy? So they make these ice lollies and they sell it to them. All you give them is a refrigerator, so that a freezer, so that they can, so you give them these things, then they go ahead and do a great job out of it. You will always find that one person or the two people in that huge number that you helped that would not have accepted the help well, but there are seven or eight others that have. So,
And I think one tip of mine, or I think that probably you might maybe say the same thing, just because there's 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10 that are not accepting the help or that are not using the help maybe in a way that you wish them to use it, that doesn't mean okay, then you just stop. No, there are 8 who do. So focus on that and try to make that one bigger and that rate bigger and more. And as you also kept your focus and your patience to go all the time to this man 9 times, that made him feel, create the trust. That made him feel like, okay, they are not bad people that want to change my children into something else. They want to help, and they do it from deep in their hearts. And that made him build the trust. That helped him to feel like you mean it good with them. Thank you for your patience. And that's something we all are allowed to work on and learn, to have patience, because many times wars are created for not being patient or for not listening good enough or for misunderstanding in the communication or whatever. There can be wars coming out of it. So let's be patience and listen better and look what people really want and need. Well, there is so much more that we can talk about. I think the podcast has only a certain time, but I have two more questions. As we are supporting also the Circular Roadshow, and the Circular Roadshow is not the project that you normally have done, but it's a cooperation you have with Ocean Material, with Tony. And so we also cooperate with Tony to support this project, the Circular Roadshow. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
It was a total, I mean, out of the blue that I met Tony, because we were picked by Women in Travel and Retail as the charity of the year to help, raise some funds. And during this time, Tony approached me and he said, he told me about Circular Roadshow. And see, this actually ties beautifully into what we are doing, because a big part of what you're doing, yes, there is the house building, but is also the children and education. And we're in Philippines, which is one of the, countries that has a lot of pollution, plastic pollution, etc. And I see that when I'm there as well. And I would love our children. I've seen our children change so much with the respect to hygiene, etc. already. So I was thinking this was so timely, meeting him and going to have this project. First, I thought that it would be fantastic to have our own kids in that area to be educated in this about plastic pollution. And every, once you start in one kind of pollution, you are going, the discussion is going to go into different kinds of other pollution as well, noise, etc. as well. So this is a brilliant way to start. And secondly, I thought it would be great for our teachers who are so good and so limited right now, because they're only doing the tutoring school, to go out there and, use their own degree into this. And they're so passionate, my teachers. They're not just teachers, they're also into, we go feed the poor in very, very remote villages, and they all go, they walk across the river, and my teachers go there as well, and they're very passionate women. So for them to be doing this, I thought was fantastic. So for us, this was very timely meeting Tony. And yeah, we are very, very excited to be his, NGO that is going to start the roadshow over there.
Sounds amazing. And everybody who's listening, the Circular Roadshow is a project that we supported already 2 times now with a smaller donation. And there are some corporations happening. And you all can check it out. I will always post again information about it. Check it out as well. And also the information about the Coma Courant Foundation. You will find the links all in the show notes. So click on it, read it, learn about it, and help us to support much more. And for now, we did support Coma Courant Foundation more because of the Circular Roadshow, but in future, and that's a big goal of mine as well, especially now that I know you better, we want to support this project and build homes and help there as well. And people, help us. Beautiful
Thank you
community,
so
help us
much.
with doing that. So I'm very happy about it. Thank you so much that you took so much time for us and shared your story. Is there something that you would like to share that I didn't ask you yet, or something that is really important for you, or a message that you still want to give our community?
Oh, I just that whatever, everything that you do where you spend money, even go for a dinner or a lunch or whatever, means a lot when you convert it into Filipino peso. So there's a lot we can do from, every little money that you can contribute, and everything that we do goes to them. Our overheads are tiny. Our teachers are getting paid, but it's in pesos, very good in pesos. But if you compare it to what you or me would get paid, you would be surprised. So our overheads are low. We have a beautiful, happy, and the same team from the beginning up until now. Nothing has changed. The laborers have been the same. Our teachers have been. We even have a team for the local district games for basketball called Coma Boys, which is just
Wow.
our laborers. They're horrible, but with so much passion. So, we will do what we say we will do with every penny that you give us. So, yeah.
That's so beautiful to hear. I forgot to ask this question. That's an important question to everybody who was listening. It is one of the most important things that we look out for in Sanus Planet, where we send the money to, how is it used, and is it used for only administrations, or is it used wise for the real project? And this here is 100% used wise. And that's why I am so happy that Tony found you. And I'm so happy that I found Tony, or Tony found me too, or we connected all at the
Yeah,
same
we
time
all found
somehow.
each other.
Yeah, we found each other. There are no, how's it called? This is not a coincidence. This is
Yes.
has a reason, and that makes me very happy.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time,
Thank you
for
so much.
everything you do, and I wish you all the best. We stay in touch, we stay connected, and beautiful
Thank you.
community. Please share, like, invite friends to understand what we are building here, so we can help much more. More people can help more, and it doesn't have, like you just heard from Maitri, it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be smaller support, smaller donations, and they all together can build a complete new home. So, yeah, let's do that. Let's go for it. Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
Thank you
time.
for having me.